everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of Divided by Werewolves. That means we are very close, if not at a year, for doing the show, our podcast anniversary. I know I just got the email to renew the domain, so y'all who are thinking of squatting on dividedbywerewolves.com, that shit ain't happening. Gonna make your money somewhere else. I'm here. Mitch is here. I do also want to point out that I did get invited to join the extremely lucrative Twitch affiliate program.
I saw that. Congrats.
Yeah.
Very nice. Fancy.
When they were explaining like the qualifications, it's really, I had like a couple nights at Sniper Elite 4 where I had a bunch of people watching. But I mean, man, it is crazy. They try to make it sound like, oh, you're going to get some money. And I'm like, there is no way. Like the only, it seems like there's three ways you can get money. One is you can offer shit in your channel for people to buy. But I'm not about to sit there and be like, Sniper Elite 4 is great. Do you want to buy Sniper Elite 4? Here's a link where you can buy Sniper Elite 4. I guess you can get, like, people get things called, like, bits or something.
Yes.
And then they can use them
Bitcoins.
To cheer on their channel. And then you can get 1 cent per bit. Holy shit. Can you imagine with my 3 to 5 viewers a night, which I appreciate. I love the autistic and Hagrada, Left Empty. I love my crew, Bones. You too,
yes, sir.
But I mean, what? And like when I read shit like that, I'm just like, wow. Like the amount of shit that you would have to do to actually try to make money on this is kind of degrading. Like I'm supposed to what? Sit there and hope that folks cheer me on or beg to be cheered? Like I don't get it. But whatever. Anyway, so I'm gonna be a Twitch millionaire, a Twitch thousandaire in no time at all. All right. So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Of course, Spider-Man: Homecoming. That's the big thing. But we got some game stuff to do too. What are you? You're still doing Friday the 13th. But what else have you got going on? I feel like I've been out of the loop for your gaming stuff.
Well, you know, me and Holly started playing Crash.
That's right. I still
streamed some of that.
I still have yet to watch it. I've seen people seems like they've gotten a really good response. I just haven't.
It's fucking crazy. I never would have thought, man. But apparently, I'm the only person on Earth who does not have this love and remembrance for Crash Bandicoot because I never played one.
I remember they came out with a couple Crash games. Shit, I played some new Crash games. I had to review them for GameShark, but they came out with some recently, but I don't remember which ones they were.
I'm sort of getting like steeped into the lore a little bit.
Steeped in the lore of Crash.
Right. But apparently they gave him like some kind of weird attitude and shit when he came out on the 360 or something, and they changed things up, and those weren't well received. Mm-hmm. But the originals apparently still hold this special place in the hearts of so many people, and I'm not one of those people.
Including Elena from Uncharted.
Right.
That's what made you do it, right? You were like, shit.
That was hilarious because I literally lived that moment over Christmas this year because one of the things I did because Holly was so excited about the remaster is I was like, well, hey, they're on the PS3 and the PSN store. I can buy like the Xbox – not Xbox, fuck. The PS1 – versions of Crash 1 and 2. And I was like, well, I'll do that and surprise her. And so, like, literally the first time I played a Crash game was over Christmas when I showed her, hey, I downloaded you these. Merry Christmas. And, you know, I'm not a cheap ass. That's not the only thing she got, but I'm just saying that.
You threw her a pack of smokes. Hey, smoke up, Johnny.
Smoke up, Johnny.
Shut crash up, bitch. Up. Come crash make me a turkey pot pie.
So I literally lived that moment from Uncharted 4 over Christmas, which was fucking bizarre as shit when it happened in the game. I was like, no, the fuck, they're not about to play Crash. So anyway, I've been doing that, and, you know, it's fun, I guess.
I guess. That is a seal of approval.
Oh, man. Sometimes I just can't tell where that fucker's feet are going to land.
I read about that because they said that they changed Mutant Mayhem. That's the game I'm thinking of. They said they changed the hitbox on his feet so they were now rounded.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to before, where it was much easier to, like, stake on a ledge because they were flat.
Man, I'm telling you, dude, when people compare that shit to Dark Souls, they're not fucking playing. Like, that's where I'm at in the frustration level on Crash. And, like, we've played ahead of where the first stream was, obviously. Like, and actually, the first stream was us going back and starting over, because we're almost at – we're towards, like, the end of the first game at this point, and holy shit. But doing that, and the other thing I did was Gamefly had a thing where you could get – what's the new Call of Duty? Infinite Warfare is the new one?
Oh, yeah. That's a good game. I like that game.
Sure. Well, it was $15. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, fuck it. Because, you know, I play Call of Duty like you play Call of Duty, and like everyone who's over the age of 20 should play Call of Duty. We play the campaign. We put that shit down.
Right. Absolutely. No. We play the campaign, then we burn the disc out in the backyard.
So I still hadn't finished Black Ops 3 because I have time. Because I always buy the new Call of Duty when the last Call of Duty when the new one comes out.
Okay, hold on. So was Black Ops 3 last year's?
So Infinite Warfare was last year's.
Okay, Black Ops 3 was the year before.
Right, and then World War 2 is this year. So
okay, yeah, Black Ops 3 I'm not as big a fan of. That's the one where you were like cyberjacked, right?
And
yeah. So that one I did not enjoy that one as much.
I had to push through to finish because I had Infinite Warfare coming to the mailbox of 6 months before I was ready to buy it. And so that is 2/3 of a pretty good game. And then borrow your phrase for Gears 4. It is aggressively fucking stupid.
Yeah, when you start going in like
the last third.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is good? Yeah, no.
Absolutely. Oh, it is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
I know I'm late to the party, but I just had to talk about it.
No, the last year's Call of Duty, I thought was great. I thought it was legit fantastic.
Listen, you're talking to a person who's, like, up to this point, Ghost is in my, like, top two.
I didn't play Ghost, I played Ghost 2.
Like, everybody hates Ghost. Like, Call of Duty Ghost, right, whatever. Like, that is, like, the one that everybody laughs about and shit, because apparently the multiplayer was good. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I cannot wait for a sequel to that game, because the campaign was so good.
The thing, though, that's great about what's the last one called? Infinite Warfare? Okay, like, remember in Fall of Reach, when you got to be in a spacecraft for, like, 30 seconds?
They're
like, oh, do you like spacecrafts? They're awesome, aren't they? Well, how about we give them to you for no time at all, and then you're done?
Yeah.
Well, there are, like, you can actually... So the cool thing about Infinite Warfare is there will be, like, side missions that you can choose to go on, and I forget what it gives you, and some of them are, like, dogfighting missions, some of them are, like, infiltration missions, and it's just this really cool sci-fi vibe, but yet they went all in on it. It wasn't like, okay, it's boots on the ground, first-person shooter for 90% of the game, and then because we showed this cool-ass level at E3, we're going to give you 5 minutes of it. I mean, they go all in, and it's fucking awesome. And so I was so – but then people didn't like it because I guess fucking Call of Duty bros only ever want to play World War II. It's like, look, son, about World War II, go talk to your granddad. Go talk to your great-granddad. Like, greatest generation. You ain't going to get there. You ain't going
to
get there.
This one was hated on because it was cool to hate on it, because that's the thing.
It was the most unlike trailer on YouTube.
Yeah.
This was my favorite Call of Duty since Advanced Warfighter.
Nice.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
I fucking loved it. And so then when I heard going back to World War II, I'm like, why?
I know.
Why? Like, go fucking watch fucking Saving Private Ryan or
exactly.
Watch Band of Brothers or some shit. Like, why do we have to keep fucking rehashing? Like, I understand we got, like, Nazis in the White House. I get it. Shit, I'm fucking punching Nazi in the face. I've had more fun than Sniper. Look, I'm going to be real with you. Part of the like, my grandfather was a bombardier in World War II. He was shot down and held in a Nazi prison camp for 18 months. My grandmother did not know if he was alive, but she stayed faithful to him. And he had all sorts of nightmares. He had psychological damage. His stomach was damaged. There were certain foods he couldn't eat as a result of when he was kept by the Germans. And for the longest time, he would not go to France because he felt that they were partially responsible for what happened to him, although he did end up going and loved it. I remember when I was a kid, we would go to Cape Cod every year, and my grandfather would stop the car in the highway, pull off on the side of the road to get out and take a picture of a flower. And I remember saying to my mom, like, what is he doing? Why are we doing this? And she's like, well, your grandfather was a prisoner of war for a year and a half, and that taught him that when he sees something beautiful or interesting, to take a minute and capture it because you don't know if you're ever going to get a chance. So yeah. I get it. But I have zero interest in fighting Nazis at every possible turn. Like, I just feel like there's so many more. I'm not saying that it's not interesting, and I'm not saying you can't tell good stories. It's more that it's been done so many times that why do we have to keep going back to that particular well? I don't get it.
Right.
I mean, even Battlefield, World War One, like, that was – not to say that war is a nice change of pace, but that's not typically – it's not a venue that you typically get to see. And when you saw what was involved and these guys like driving around in fucking metal reinforced cardboard boxes, it's like, we're a tank. It's like, no, you're not. You are a shed on wheels. But yeah, I don't get it. But that's where it kind of started. So I guess that's where folks feel like they got to go back to.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess I'm a little excited for World War II, just because, Call of Duty hasn't done World War II, since Part 3, right?
Yeah, Call of Duty, yeah, exactly.
So that's cool, whatever, but yeah, I'm looking forward to Infinite Warfare.
I don't know, but I guess between Call of Duty and Medal of Honor. There's been so many. Like, that's one of the things that I like about Sniper Elite 4, is one, it's just kind of a different take on it, but also, it's Italy, it's a different venue, a different side to the same kind of conflict, so to speak.
Right.
But it's still, I go, all right. I mean, how many Nazis? I mean, we get it. Like, we all hate Nazis.
Sure.
How many times do we need to fight this war?
Yeah.
But anyway. But yeah, no, Infinite Warfare is great. Is great.
Sweet.
And definitely do all the side missions, because they're fun as hell. I don't know if it gets you stuff. It gets you achievements. I don't know if you care about that shit.
Nah. But I'll do them. I try to do as much, because I try to get as much out of my money as possible. So even at $15, I'll do as much of it as I possibly can.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's see. For me, yeah, Sniper Elite 4, it's been a lot of fun. I'm, sniping dudes. We're on the last mission. I'm hoping that the DLC goes on sale, because I would like to shoot Hitler in the face. As I'm sure most people would, it's been, it's something that I kind of was like, well, I'll do it more on a lark. I'm surprised that I've had as many folks enjoying the streams as I've had. I just kind of didn't figure that was the game that was going to end up being the thing that people like. But I'm glad they do. And then most outside of that, man, all of my time has been playing Breath of the Wild, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I am amazed that I like the Switch as much as I do, to be perfectly honest. But there is just something, I think that, the Wii U, I never really felt like they kind of knew what it is they were doing. They're just like, it's the Wii, but it's also got a tablet because of reasons. And you're just like, well, what the fuck? It reminded me, I don't know if you remember, like, back when the GameCube was around, they had, this cable that you could hook up your Game Boy Advance, and there were, certain games where, you could do things in the game. And I was like, and that seemed to me like the Wii U was. And I was like, well, nobody cares about that shit. I don't see why that's a big thing.
Right.
And so I never really understood what the point of the Wii U was. And, I mean, it had your typical good, first-party Nintendo games.
But that's it.
But that's it. And the Switch, I mean, I don't know if there'll be more people, if there'll be more third-party support. I would kind of hope so, because they've sold more copies. But there is just something awesome about being able to, have it docked and then just be like, all right, well, I'm done. I'm going to just pick it up. I'm going to play it on my lap. If somebody else is using the TV or whatever.
Yeah.
It works great as a handheld. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable, but like I said, you can just throw that shit on your lap, pop the kickstand out,
get
the controller, and be good to go. But Breath of the Wild is fantastic. I mean, there's things about it that I wish were different. I feel like the economy, especially early on in the game, both in terms of materials and money, is very stingy. It definitely expects you to do a certain amount. It's one of those things where it's like they're like, well, we want you to explore, but you can't really explore because you'll get yourself in a situation where you get your ass kicked.
Right.
So you need like to have certain elixirs to keep you from getting cold or certain armor. And it's like, well, you can't get that armor because you don't have enough money. Well, how do you get that money where you have to go and do, you know, side quests? Well, you can't do those quests because, you know what I mean? So it's kind of it's a bit of a constant balancing act to try to figure out like the best way to spend your time so that you don't waste your time later, because the game is more than happy to let you wander into a situation you are completely unprepared for.
Yeah, I read that.
And I think that's great because I remember Darksiders 2 did that. You know, Witcher loved to do that.
Yeah, no shit.
You'd be like, oh, shit, look at that. There's like a bandit camp or like monsters. And then they're like, yeah, there's like a level 900 dragon and you got a wooden sword.
Yep.
But so it's kind of, you know, part of it is trying to figure out almost the rhythm of things. But once you kind of get a handle on that, it is so easy to just lose like 2 or 3 hours just fucking walking, just roaming around. And now with the DLC, honestly, the map that shows the hero's path, I don't feel like it is so cool to see. I don't feel like it's fair to charge people for that. I feel like that's something that should have been part of the game, or at least part of the DLC, or like a title update as a result of the DLC, but not that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Because it is so cool to pop that on, and when you were like, wow, I've been so many places, and just to see how many, like, the sheer number of gaps in the map that you haven't been to.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? I have seen so much, and you're like, you ain't seen, like, you literally have not seen anything. And so it's really cool to see that. And then because there's just always something between shrines and towers and then, you know, just the main story stuff. It's just really extremely well done. And I mean, I'm not the type of person who's like, oh, you know, like, is it a reason to buy a console? Because, you know, that's asking a lot for people to spend $300 just to play one game. But I got to tell you, it's pretty fucking close. I mean, it is pretty close to being a reason to buy it.
I was there, man, when they did that first reveal for what the Switch was and what all it was going to be able to do and all this. And I was like, I was fucking 100% on board. I'm going to pre-order this shit. I want one. And then it got closer to release. And I was like, is Zelda really all I'm going to have to play? Like, I can just wait then.
And I think that's true. Honestly, I can totally get that. But Zelda has a fuck ton of stuff to do. But I think, though, you know, part of that, part of the appeal of playing Zelda for that long does, to a certain degree, have to do with, well, how comfortable, like, are you the type of person that once you're done with the game's main story, you don't want to do anything else? Or will you continue to explore and see things? If you're the type of person who's going to want to continue to explore and see things, then Zelda can definitely last you a very long time. If you're somebody who, like, well, now once I get to the story, then I'm kind of done, then in a way you would have to kind of – you would have to be very mindful to not do the story earlier on. And that's cool. Like, I – you know, there's a – you know, I see this as a type of game because the only thing that sucks is, like, for their DLC, you don't have the option of buying one or the other. You either buy the whole thing or you buy nothing. Well, one thing came out now. The other thing doesn't come out until the end of the year. So it's not like it's going to be something I get rid of anytime soon. But if you weren't planning on buying the DLC, I don't know if you'd get 120 hours out of it, because maybe you'd go, well, I finished the main story and I don't really care about doing anything else at this point.
Right.
But saying, oh, is Zelda the only thing I'll have to play? Well, there's a lot of Zelda there. I mean, that's kind of the only thing. But I do feel like,
you know, maybe better served waiting until the fall when you've got like Super Mario Galaxy, and then you know, the open world Lego game, Lego City Undercover,
on
it, and there's a bunch of it'll be a bunch of other shit too. But I think between Zelda and Super Mario Odyssey, you'd probably have a good 200 hours worth of stuff to do, and then around that time, you know, shortly after that, you figure after Super Mario whatever comes out, the next DLC pack for Zelda would come out. So you get Zelda, maybe get it on sale, pay $20 for the DLC, and you've got a shit ton of stuff to do.
Yeah, that's sort of the plan for me right now.
But it's fantastic. Like, I'll be like, you know, I've been climbing this mountain for half an hour and be like, holy shit. And I don't feel like I wasted my time either.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because I bought like Red Dead Redemption. I was like, I'm going to play this again. I played it for like an hour and a half and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I think it's hard because I didn't realize that you can't pause games backward compatible games on the One, because it plays it in the 360 emulator.
Oh, that's true.
So I didn't know that. So I was like, well, it'll be something good to fuck around with. I mean, I know I played it before, but you know, ever since they announced Red Dead Redemption 2, I was like, well, I want to play it again. And I, you know, paid fucking $20 for it. And I was like, I played it for a couple hours. And I was like, oh, yeah. So if you want a copy of Red Dead Redemption 2, I have one. I'm more than happy to send it to you.
I still have mine, so.
Well, there you go. That's right. You keep games. Yeah. Me. All right. So Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, you saw this Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That's when I saw it too. Did you take your kids or just you go?
Yeah. Took the kids.
Okay. Are they big Spider-Man fans or are they like MCU fans? Or are they just like, oh, let's go to the movies?
I honestly couldn't tell you if my son gives a shit about a movie one way or the other. Uh-huh. I can tell you that he loves Overwatch and and his Xbox and his phone. And outside of that, I couldn't tell you he gives a flying fuck about anything.
Well, there you go.
Food, air, anything. So the only things he shows interest in are his phone and Overwatch. So, but no, my daughter, on the other hand, is like, this is so weird to me. It's awesome, but it's so weird to me that my daughter is such a mini-me, and my son is so not. He's like, so not.
Uh-huh.
But I sent my brother a picture the other day, because this is not Spider-Man related at all, but this is just movie related. This, my daughter is me with the movies. And so my brother and I, when we were younger, there were several movies, as most, you know, most people have those movies that you just watch over and over. And like, you know, some people it's Star Wars, and that was definitely one of ours. And it's, you know, whatever. We watched fucking Corey Haim and Corey Feldman in License to Drive so many times.
I thought you were going to say Lost Boys.
Well, no, we did that one too, but License to Drive fit the rotation. To every one Lost Boys, there was three License to Drives. Like, we watched that movie a million times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed it to Katie because she will watch older movies. If I put in an old movie and Jacob walks in the room, it's the sigh and the eye roll, and he's like, ugh, what is this? And I'm like, you know what? It's nothing.
It's history, motherfucker.
It's nothing. Go get on your phone. Like, I'm just like, don't. Don't bring that shit in here right now. Like, this is a classic. So she sat on the couch and was glued to it. Mm-hmm. And then she asked to watch it the next 2 days in a row also.
Wow.
And so on day three, I took the picture. I like backed up in the living room and I had her head looking at the television in frame, so that my brother would know what we were watching. And I sent him, I was like, look, we got one here that appreciates the classics.
There you go.
It's like, holy shit, that's awesome. I'm like, I know. So she likes that. She likes Rad. She likes all these movies that we used to watch. So yeah, she was really into Spider-Man. But Jacob was like, I might as well just left him here or left him in the car at the theater.
Yeah. See, I was surprised that my kids, I mean, they wanted to go. My daughter was laughing her head off. But my son, he's so, Like, he was like, I'm going to watch Batman Begins. And I was like, okay, cool. And then later on, I was like, how'd you like it? He's like, it was okay. And I was like, motherfucker, what?
What?
Like, I was like, hold on. I need to get my lawyer on the phone because you have to get written out of this motherfucking will. Because I know you didn't. And I was like, what do you mean it was just okay? And he's like, well, I kind of expected there to be more joking. I was like, joking?
What?
I was like, wait, because you saw Lego Batman 2, you expect Batman to be jokey? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God. I have failed you as a parent. I was like, I'm not even telling you that Dark Knight is a thing that resists, because you will catch some fucking hands if I hear you come in and say Dark Knight is okay. I ain't even going to let you insult Dark Knight Rises, because I love that movie, problems and all. But I'm like,
yes, sir.
I just recently, and I rewatched it after he was like, yeah, it was okay. I was like, I was like, fuck it, I need to. Sometimes I get in a mood, I'm like, I need to watch them all, and I watch them all again. I was like, I do not know how you could be. But he doesn't like things like dialogue and character development. You know, yeah. In his world, it'd be perfect if everything was 20 minutes long. And he likes the Teen Titans cartoon because it's all like hyper whatever. And there's like, it's all geeky and shit. And fine, there's a time and a place for that. I get it. But he loved, like, he really enjoyed Wonder Woman. He thought it was great, which I was really surprised. And they wanted to see Spider-Man, and I was like, okay, we'll go. And they both really enjoyed it. But I don't know how much of that is because it, you know, there was a fair amount of action, and you know, a Nolan movie, you do kind of have to expect a certain amount of dialogue and character development. But it was like, okay, get a bunch of like comic book, you know, it's like, you know, you should get a bunch of comic book, like Batman comic books. They have like all of Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's. They have the entire run. You should get a bunch of those. And he's like, all right, cool. And then he got Black Hand. And I'm like, oh, Black Hand. And then he didn't read them. And he returned them. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, they weren't very good. And I was like, oh, okay. I know you're not going to say that.
That's my son.
But anyway, so what did you? How did you feel about Spider-Man?
All right, so I sort of let the cat out of the bag. Let me just say, since I am famous for being the person with no joy in their soul,
that's not true.
I was accused of that on Twitter by somebody. So that is not true.
That is not true at all.
I love the things that I love dearly, and I get enjoyment out of things, and it may not be things that everybody enjoys. You know, I love the Suicide Squad, still do, can't help it. That's just how I'm wired. So I don't hate the Marvel movies. I don't. It's just at this point, I'm kind of like, okay, enough of the same fucking movie every time. You know, and like I said, I didn't like Guardians, the first one. I thought the second one was great. We talked about that. I shocked the world with that shit, right?
Shocked at what you get. The stunner.
So
Thrill in Manila.
So I don't hate every Marvel movie. So I will say my impressions, these are my overall impressions. This is what I've already said online, but it is a perfect Ultimate Spider-Man movie. It's
okay.
A pretty good Spider-Man movie.
All right. So here's I don't place a distinction between Ultimate and Spider-Man only because, you know, the MCU, in my mind, they haven't established who Spider-Man is. So I don't feel like you would necessarily, I don't know how to say this, like anything, like their version of Spider-Man is their version of Spider-Man, right? Like, I understand,
right.
I kind of understand what you're saying. But that being said, I put it firmly in the middle.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Ant-Man and Doctor Strange a heck of a lot more.
Wow.
Not to say it wasn't a good movie. I feel like it was a good movie. I laughed when I was supposed to laugh.
Yeah.
I thought Michael Keaton was fucking
fantastic. He stole the show, man. He was fantastic.
I thought he was great.
Yes.
But I liked I don't know. I love Doctor Strange. I know you said you got it, you watch it, never watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it. And I like every time I watch Ant-Man, I like it more.
I love Ant-Man. I loved Ant-Man. We didn't do that on the show at all.
Right.
That movie was fucking great.
But it's not a Thor 2. It is not
okay.
A Iron Man 2.
Listen. I rate Thor 2 way higher than anyone else.
I'd have to watch it again. I'll have to watch it again. I'll watch it again. But my point is, to me, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
For as far as MCU goes, it's kind of middle of the road. It's your Captain America's first Avenger, your Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Just right firmly in the middle. Will I buy it? Yes. Will I watch it? Yes.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, is it a Winter Soldier? Is it a Civil War? I fucking love Iron Man 3 because in my mind Shane Black can do no wrong. No, it's not. But I think part of that has to, now I watched Spider-Man 2 kind of to prepare. I guess it was more I wanted to have in my mind what I felt was the best Spider-Man movie before I watched it because, you know, sometimes time clouds your judgment on certain things, and I wanted it to be somewhat fresh. And I think, and maybe that was the wrong thing to do, because one of the things that Raimi was extremely heavy-handed with was the whole mopey, I can't ever have anything.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of, he definitely played the whole, you know, starving Peter Parker, which in the comics didn't make a lot of sense, because you're like, well, you can make this fucking, you're a scientific genius and you can't get a job. But Raimi did away with that by making, you know, the web shooters organic as opposed to being something that Peter created.
Right.
But I think that as much as I thought Tom Holland was great, I loved the kids, his schoolmates.
Yeah, yeah.
But sorry, I just kicked the table. I think I don't care about the whole having to hide your secret identity thing. I think that's one of the things that has been great about the Marvel movies, and to a certain degree the DC movies, is that they really don't seem to care about secret identities. Mm-hmm. There's really no stress there. Like in Batman versus Superman, nobody gave a shit about trying to figure out who the Batman was, or gave a shit about who Bruce Wayne was, or Clark Kent, none of that shit. And then in the Avengers, everybody knows who all the Avengers were. Because my wife was like, well, but do people know who Hawkeye was? I was like, nobody gives a shit who Hawkeye is. You know why they give a shit about Clint Barton? Like, I mean, look at it this way. Like, yeah, his face could have been all over the place, but he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. operative. I'm sure they've got things if they need to scrub people's identities. But for the most part, ain't nobody give a fuck about Jeremy Renner.
No.
Jeremy Renner don't give a fuck about Jeremy Renner. So it doesn't matter. But everybody knows that Tony Stark is Iron Man. Everybody knows who Steve Rogers is. You know, that whole angst of, my enemies, they could find out. And I always thought that was weird anyway. And I think that's one of the things about this movie that I just didn't give a shit about.
Dude, that's one of the things about this movie that I actually did like. That's one thing that I thought it did well. I understand that concept. Like, I've been reading comic books since I could read, and one of my favorite scenes in the movie was when Michael Keaton drove them to the dance.
And I thought that was great. And this is kind of where I understand I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I think that was one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yes.
With Michael Keaton realizing who this kid was, and Peter realizing who her dad was.
Yep.
But at the same time, I guess it's the angst.
Yeah.
The whole, I'm at the dance and I need to leave. I can't have a good, you know, I can't have the same thing.
Right.
Other kids, whatever. I guess that I don't necessarily care about.
Sure.
And maybe it's just because it was so heavy-handed in Spider-Man 2.
It was.
And that was the wrong thing to watch prior to this one.
Yeah.
I mean, that could definitely be it.
I don't know. I thought this one handled it pretty well. I mean, yeah.
They did.
That's Spider-Man's thing, you know? Spidey never wins. Like, that's the thing. He's the perpetual underdog. Like, he may win the fight, but he never gets the girl, or he never gets the job, or he never does, because he has to be
right.
Peter and Spidey. And that's, like, one of the things that I find so endearing about this character. And, you know, like I said, I love Spider-Man. Like, he's probably...
I love, too. Dude, I have him. He's a part of me now. Like, literally. Right, he's on my forearm.
Oh, I know. I just, you know, he's, like, up there for me. I don't know. God damn it. Probably my second favorite Marvel character.
I think in terms of superheroes that most kind of shaped me as a kid,
yeah,
he would be number one. Because I was a thin, skinny dork. I got beat up. I got called nerd.
Oh, geez.
I mean, all the time. Like, I remember Revenge of the Nerds came out when I was in middle school, and my friends and I remember walking up to buy, like, ice cream sandwiches, and the whole cafeteria chanting, nerds, nerds, nerds.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I was like, please. I remember driving, like the scene when he was trying to web-sling through suburbia.
Yes.
Driving through my neighborhood and being like, there is no way I could web-sling in this place. Like, just hoping against hope that something would happen to give me powers, but also knowing that I was in the exact wrong spot for that to happen.
Honestly, I traded that for my experience, because I was the Blob, but there was no Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. I was the only one. So.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll swap with you.
I feel like they did it well. But, you know, so then it kind of comes back to when you're like, well, you know, spoilers. So at the end, when Tony's like, yeah, we're going to join the Avengers, for Peter to say, well, I'm going to be kind of more on the ground.
I was getting ready to leave the theater, by the way. I was
if he joined the Avengers?
Yep, I was out. I was like, nope. I'm not going to watch that happen. I'm okay with how this is ending. This is good. Let's stop right now. Don't do this to me, please.
Well, do you feel, though, that, like, Spidey, like, Peter kind of understands, given the struggle that he went through, this is the life he's buying into. It's not just necessarily being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It's not getting the girl. To a certain degree, they mitigated that by having his best friend know that it was him, which I thought was great. I thought the whole
reveal... Oh, that
kid
was great.
Yeah,
Ned relationship
was fantastic.
Was awesome.
The relationship was good. You know, when he's like, I want to be the man in the chair. And he is the man in the chair. And he's like, this is some bullshit. You know, like... But I think the fact that so many people that are close... Even just one person who is close to him... knowing who he is helps.
Yeah, it does.
And that's something that typically Spider-Man hasn't had.
Right.
So they're kind of like having their cake and eating it too, because they're making it so that Peter himself maybe has to make sacrifices, but, you know, the struggle that Peter's always had is that everybody always thought that he was he wasn't dependable.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen now,
right?
Because he's got people that know who he is and know why he can't be there, and who could help cover and be like, oh, well, he's got this, he's got that.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, I feel like that's somewhat necessary, because, you know, Peter, you root for him. So you want you kind of want him to be able to have what other people have, and if he can't do that, at the very least, you don't want people being pissed off at him all
the
time.
Right.
And that's one of the things in the Raimi movies where, you know, you understood why he couldn't be there, but you're just kind of like, oh, this sucks, because everybody fucking hates him. They tell him he's lazy and he's undependable and all this other shit when he's out there, you know, saving the world or whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, why in terms of, like, what you're saying, an ultimate Spider-Man, but not a Spider-Man? I'm curious, because I saw you mention that on Twitter, and I'm just curious as to...
Well, yeah, I understood, like, the Ultimate Universe when it first happened. Like, I understand wanting to sort of grab new readers by, you know, introducing these characters again, but making them younger and having their origins more modern and all that type of thing. But my thing has always been, and it's because of when I got into it. Because when I got into it, you know, Peter was older, and that's the Spider-Man that I enjoy. You know, I enjoy Peter, who I think he wasn't married yet, but like he was with Mary Jane, and you know, but he was older and he had a job and shit like this. And I like Spider-Man. I'm not a big fan of Spider-Boy.
Oh,
and
okay.
And to me, that is what Ultimate Spider-Man is. And it's always, he's like got this tech and all this shit. And the one thing I'll say that the movie did do well, and somebody pointed this out today to me on Facebook, and it made me be like, you know what, you're fucking right. I'm not going to take credit for making that connection, but it's not because what I said was I prefer science nerd Peter to to tech guy Peter, right? And he's like, but at least in this movie, Stark was giving him the tech. I mean, yes, he was a computer kid, but all his suit and all this shit, he didn't build it at least. He didn't have, like, you know what I mean? Like, they let Stark give it to him. And so he just got to play with the toys. He didn't invent them.
I don't know, but I still, like, that was one of the things I didn't like about it, though. Like, I mean, I understand it's kind of stupid that Peter would be able to build, would be able to sew himself. Like, his homemade suit, I thought was perfect.
Yes.
That is exactly the type of thing I would expect a kid like him to make.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're willing to believe somebody could be bit with, with an irradiated spider and get spider powers, I think you can also assume that maybe they could just make themselves a suit.
Right.
I liked the fact that Peter figured out all this shit himself. He figured out how to do all the stuff with his webbing and the fighting and all that stuff. And while I the suit itself fits into the MCU perfectly,
right,
I still prefer the idea that this is shit he's figured out on his own.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the difference to me between a Spider-Man and an Ultimate Spider-Man.
And I mean, like, I thought it was, it was funny and everything, like the whole interrogation scene. And he's like, you've got, 500 different, because that's exactly the type of thing I think that Tony Stark would do.
Yep.
You know, engineers, man, they fucking love to over-engineer shit.
Sure.
They love it. And given infinite resources, they will give you infinite options. When instead you're like, look, this is a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He needs web shooters, and that's about it. You know what I mean? So, so I think, like I said, I feel like the suit itself fit in perfectly. I just, I prefer things being more like, okay, he built the web shooters.
Yep.
He kind of figured this shit out all on his own.
Yep, that's me. That's the Spider-Man that I relate to, or that I know.
I mean, even just like the whole, like when he's like in chemistry class, like he's trying to figure out how to do the web compound, he's doing that shit on the side.
Yeah.
You know, like Peter was resourceful. Like he figured that shit out.
Right.
But yeah, but now, I mean, that being said, I was amazed given how much stuff they showed in the trailers and how big a part it seemed Tony Stark played. I really was surprised that the movie.
Yeah.
Like I was surprised at how much of the movie surprised me.
Same here. Yep.
I give the marketing department a lot of credit because it definitely seemed like they were just kind of showing you everything, and that wasn't the case at all.
Yep. I agree. Also, the other thing that I really dug is like, there's always little Easter eggs and things like that. And I don't know if we're going to get into this later, but I just wanted to mention that as far as for us comic book nerds, there is a metric fuck ton of Easter eggs in this movie that they didn't overly explain and they didn't take too much time with. It was just like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't have to. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, one of them was like, what you were saying when he was in suburbia and he didn't have any skyscrapers to swing from. And he was having to, like, try to get from point A to point B and shit. That's straight out of an Amazing Spider-Man issue.
When he was trapped under all the rubble.
The rubble, and he picked up the building up off him.
If Be My Destiny.
Man.
What was the name of that?
I can't remember.
I forget the issues.
But
like,
right.
If This Be My Destiny or something like that.
Like that straight out of the comic. The Prowler being the guy that he webbed his hand to the fucking trunk.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and, but also, on top of that, Donald Glover, for when he was on Community, he had mentioned that he wanted to be Miles Morales, and there was a big push online. And you notice, like, the first meeting that he had, his shirt being that kind of red, black, and white, like Miles's suit.
Yeah. Well, and then he said, he's like, I have a nephew in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's like, I heard that. I'm feeling you, player. I got you. I'm listening.
I love Donald Glover. Did you watch Atlanta?
No, I wish I did. You've talked about it before, and I'm just
that is one of my, like, of my, if I had to pick a favorite show of this year, last year, I mean, Atlanta would be one of them. It is fucking great.
I gotta watch it. I gotta watch it.
It is great. Yeah.
But even not comic book related, man, when the Vulture flew up into the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
man.
What up?
Yep. I noticed that too. It was like a split second. I was like, I feel you, Batwing.
Oh God, it was such fan service, man. And I'm sort of.
But like when they did the meet on the boat, and okay, so the guy I call him Nacho because that's who he plays on A Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And he was like, he said Gargan, and I was like, I know that name. How do I know that name? But I couldn't figure it out. And then at the end, we had the scorpion tattoo.
Yep.
I feel bad for my wife because I like punch her on the shoulder. Like when the Black Panther promo came on, I was like, yeah, and I punched her on the shoulder. And then like when the Dark Tower trailer came on, I was like, ah, and I punch her on the shoulder. And then when he had the Scorpion on the neck, I was like, oh shit, that's Scorpion.
Yep, yep.
I'm like, they dropped. I was like, cause I was thinking, man, this guy is a fucking great actor.
Yeah.
I know they did not have this motherfucker on screen for 30 seconds and then fucking drop a car on his face. For him to not then have something else later on.
Yeah.
So for him to be end up being Scorpion, I am so there for that.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm so excited, man, for a Sinister Six. Like, I'm just... You
know, oh, shit.
I want that shit to happen today. Like, I'm ready.
That would be great. But no, and that's the thing, like, and so my wife and I, we were talking about this after the movie, and she was like, I thought it was good, and I was like, I can tell you... Like, I could go on all day about individual pieces of this movie that I really enjoyed. But in terms of, like, it coming together as a whole, I don't know why my response to it as a whole is, I guess, I don't want to say it's, I'm not going to say it's lukewarm. It's just not as strong as I thought it would be. And honestly, I don't know why. And I don't know if it's because... We've had so many Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's unnecessary because, I mean, as we both talk, like, he's extremely important to me as a character.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've had so many Spider-Man movies that I don't know if we need more or if it was like, I don't know, okay for him to just kind of be in the MCU and not need a movie on his own. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I can say, like, you know, it was really exciting when he showed up in Civil War. I thought it was like, holy shit, this is great. I love it. And then watching this movie, I was like, I should be enjoying this more. But the thing that I keep thinking about is everything they're showing me. I'm like, ooh, I can't wait till that pays off later in the next one. Or, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like,
Yeah.
Like, so many pieces of this I just thought are going to make for such an amazing next one. And I was like, well, this one's okay, but like,
DJ Khaled. You're like, another one.
Yeah. Like, right. I'm like, let's do the next one now.
Right. And that's a good point because even though it wasn't an origin movie, which
thank God,
very much appreciate,
it
was an origin movie in that it introduced him fully to the MCU. And yeah, I mean, in terms of like, you know, shit that'll pay off down the line. That's an excellent point. That there's a lot of things that you're just kind of going, all right, well, this will be cool. Like, now that we've established who he is and kind of what the deal is and everything, this will pay off down the line. And not to say that it wasn't good now.
Right.
It's just that there's so much potential there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. But, I mean, it was and that's what's weird is that I don't know. I think this is the kind of movie for me that when I watch it again, I'll probably enjoy it more.
Same here. I think so.
I'll probably enjoy it more. And that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Sometimes it takes me – I got to kind of try to figure out what something is. And that's what the first viewing is me kind of figuring out what it is. And then once I kind of know what it is,
right,
I can better appreciate it.
Well, the first one's always expectation versus reality. And then
– yes, yeah.
When those two don't mesh, sometimes it takes you a few times to be like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely right. Absolutely right. But – I mean, I thought it was. They mentioned the Sokovia Accords,
mm-hmm.
And you know that was like in Peter's history class, and then you know when clearly they were gonna you know announce him as an Avenger. So what does this mean for Peter though? When he said, "Now I want to stay friendly neighborhood." I mean, the Sokovia Accords are still a thing.
Right.
So what does that mean? Because if he had just said, yeah, I'm going to be an Avenger, you know, you would expect that, okay, well, now he has to follow the Accords.
Right.
But if he's going to be neighborhood level, does that mean he's signing them and he's getting, like, permission to do this? Or, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's the one thing that I wish they – I mean, obviously they're not going to get into the, well, now is Act 3, you know, international law, right, and Spider-Man. You know, like – but I'm curious about that. My assumption is that he's okay. He's kind of grandfathered in because – or he would sign them or whatever, and he kind of get – but – I almost feel like it would have been more impactful if this movie had happened before Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, just like in Civil War, where originally Peter sided with Tony, and then he switches over.
Yeah.
And kind of that tension where this is somebody that Tony had mentored. He gave him his suit.
Yeah.
You know, all that shit. And now he's kind of seeing him go.
I agree. All of that would have been better than what we got in Civil War.
I mean, I like Civil War, but at the same time, I feel like it opens up.
Yeah.
For movies like this, it kind of opens up a can of worms as to what,
yeah,
you know, how these characters are gonna behave in the Marvel Universe proper. I mean, it's not like they can kind of choose to do what they want to. Like, I thought it was hilarious that when they showed the video and Hannibal Buress is like, I'm pretty sure he's a war criminal.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny, too, because that would be a public school, like, when they're like, well, these are the videos we have.
Right.
Like, even though, yeah, this guy, like, is on, you know, whatever, he's on the run. These are the videos we have. We don't have anything else, so we kind of have to show it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like Guardians of the Galaxy. When Infinity War comes, they're going to come to Earth, and they're going to be like, can you sign this piece of paper?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Right.
But it was just one of those things, because they mentioned it like in the history class, and clearly it's still a thing. You know, you just kind of wonder, like, well, what exactly would that mean for Peter? But because he's a kid, I would kind of think he'd be like, yeah, I'll sign it. It's cool. You know, without really giving it much thought, because it's also, you know, Tony would be the one somewhat pushing him to sign it in the first place.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I don't know. For you, they showed the teaser for Black Panther. That's kind of been around.
Yeah,
that movie still looks great.
Yes, it does.
And then did they show a Dark Tower?
Yeah.
Trailer for you?
Yeah,
dude. I'd seen the little teaser, but that scene when he like flips the bullets in,
yeah,
and then at the end when like the bullets are flying and he swings the gun and just the whole line, like, I do not aim with my, oh, you forgot to face your father. I used to say that all the time. Like, when my kids were real young and they'd fuck up, I'd say, you forgot to face your father. And they'd look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? And my wife made the mistake, and she's like, we were having our drinks, I think Sunday night. And she's like, well, what is the Dark Tower? I was like, what is the Dark Tower? Do you have an hour and 45 minutes? Okay, book one. A man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. I got the books down off the shelf. I was like, okay, here's book three. Here's book four. Now, this, he took a gap. This is when he wrote himself into the book. Like, she was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I mean, I'm excited for War Planet of the Apes. I'm excited for Atomic Blonde.
Yep.
Fucking Dark Tower. I'm fucking all in. The only thing I wish they let Idris Elba keep his British accent.
Yeah.
The reason being that even though gunslingers are very much Americana with the whole cowboy thing,
right,
they also are tied into Arthurian myth.
Mm.
Like, they're very much Knights of the Round Table, which is purely British. So it totally would have worked to have this badass gunslinger with the British accent. And I thought but it would be fucking amazing. But my wife, she goes, well, the problem for me is, she's like, every time I see a Buick commercial, it's got Matthew McConaughey and he's wearing a black suit. She's like, so I kept expecting him to, like, get in his Buick in the trailer. I was like, okay, I could see that. I could see that. But yeah, I'm very much excited for that. And I don't care if they make more. It doesn't matter to me. I don't give a shit. Yeah. They make this one and then don't ever make any more. It's fine with me. I don't give a fuck. Just one of them will be enough.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was, for me, they didn't show a Thor, a Ragnarok trailer, which I thought was odd.
Right.
Simply because that comes out next, right?
Yeah.
When does Black Panther come out? Is that next year? Well, I guess it would have to be.
Yeah.
Because Ragnarok is around, like, November or something. So Black Panther is next year.
I guess so, yeah.
But
shit, I didn't realize it was that far out. I don't keep up. I'm terrible about, like... I get my dates fucked up, and they always announce it so fucking early, and the teasers come out so fucking early, I forget half the time.
That's like my daughter was like, well, why do they, like, show you commercials for movies that are, like, several years out? Several years out, but I said, and I, you know, then trying to explain to her the whole marketing strategy of, you know, multi-billion dollar conglomerates. It's like, okay.
Yeah, right.
You have to carve out a release date a year and a half in advance. All right, let's see. I got here 2018. This is saying 16 February. What? They go dump Black Panther and fuck. Whatever. That can't be right.
That's my birthday. That's perfect.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Shit. All right. Well,
that's right. I remember that now. Happy birthday to me. I remember that now.
I may be reading that wrong. My eyesight is not what it used to be, so I can't read bottle, like, pill bottles or anything with small print. I can't read. I have to give it to my wife. It sucks getting old. You wait. You'll be here.
Trust me. I'm already there, man. On a customer service call the other day, and they asked me for a serial number, and I was just like, fuck. And the lady started laughing at me. Like,
I remember it was like 2 years ago when my daughter was like kind of learning how to like trim her own nails, like the nail clipper. And she said, you know, my wife was like, look, you know, do it yourself. But if you find that like you're cutting them too close or whatever, just like ask me or dad, and then we'll do it. And I was like, I can't do it. And she's like, what do you mean you can't do it? I was like, I can't see. Like, I literally, like, it's so blurry, I'll cut the child's fingertips off. Like, I'm like, I'm not trying to get out of doing something. I can't see. And she's like, okay, fine. Just ask me. I'll do it. Overdoses for everybody in this house. Come to my house asking for medication. You're taking your life in your own hands. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well, anything else you got? What's coming up for you streaming-wise or playing-wise? More Crash Bandicoot?
More Crash Bandicoot. Probably as soon as we're done here, I'll hop on and me and Holly will play some tonight. Probably Friday the 13th on the weekends. I got more friends that have it now, so I'll probably do more of that. I have purchased a ridiculous amount of games in the last 2-3 weeks, but most of them are just, like I said, playing catch up. I did get Victor Vran.
Okay.
So I grabbed that. But I don't know, man. I got Mass Effect because it was $20.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of shit that we've already been over, done to death. Nothing really exciting new.
Yeah, for me.
Oh, I got Amnesia. I thought about doing those.
Okay. Yeah.
I like Soma so much, so yeah, I bought the Amnesia collection. So I may stream those.
Yeah, for me, it's Sniper Elite. We're on the last mission, so that'll be next few days. And then I did get through Gamefly. What's it called? Elite Dangerous. Kind of MMO or whatever. But
right.
As I mentioned on the stream the other night, I was like reading some tips, and it was like 16 paragraphs on how to dock your ship. And I was like, okay, this is one of those games. I don't need that. I need like a point your ship towards the glowing lights, and it will dock for you. So
yeah, exactly.
We'll see how it goes. If this is one of those things where you play for 10 hours before you have enough money to scrape together to buy a laser gun, then it's not going to be around with. So I kind of need something to play. I kind of actually thought about, I had played a bunch of Far Cry Primal, but mm-hmm. I still have a lot to do, so I was kind of tempted to get back into that, maybe stream some of that. But I'll need to find something. I also thought about getting the Necromancer pack for
Diablo 3. Yeah, I thought about that too.
So we'll see. I'll have to see if I was kind of hoping yesterday, because Wildlands went on sale for the PS4, I was hoping that Xbox would follow, but it didn't. So I'll figure something out, and we'll keep going with it. But, you know, Elite Dangerous, at least it'd be good for a couple nights, at least to kind of get your bearings and see what happens. So, whatever we end up doing, of course, we appreciate everybody taking the time to either watch or listen and comment, hang out, all that good stuff. So whatever we end up doing, hopefully you'll be there with us. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 26 of the Divided by Werewolves podcast, and we'll be back here in the next couple weeks. War for Planet of the Apes, I guess that would be next, right?
Yes.
Yep. So we'll get down for all those damn dirty apes. So for myself and Mitch, thanks for hanging out. Really appreciate it. And good night, and happy evening.